Welcome to Burlington Humane, the podcast of the Burlington Humane Society, Ontario's premier no-kill shelter.
My society.
My society.
Burlington Humane is my society.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Burlington Humane, the podcast of the Burlington Humane Society. My name is Doug, and I'm coming to you from beautiful Burlington, Ontario, Canada. On this episode of Burlington Humane, we're going to talk with Dr. Julianne Donato, an animal chiropractor, and hear about some of her success stories. We will talk with Daniel Goldgut, CEO and founder of Epilogue Wills, about setting up your estate to look after your pet. And we'll hear about all of the latest news and events. So stay with us for this and much more on Burlington Humane. Julianne Donato is a chiropractor who also does chiropractor procedures on animals. She has moved from Burlington to Warren, Ohio. But before she left, I was able to talk with her about some of her success stories she has had treating animals. I'm here with Dr. Julianne Donato, who is an animal chiropractor. Hi, Dr. Julianne. Welcome to Burlington Humane.
Hi, Doug. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we're talking about success stories. What are some of the success stories that you've seen in your practice as an animal chiropractor?
So the success story that I'm going to talk to you about today is actually with my own dog. So this is, she's kind of the reason that I wanted to get into this in the first place.
Oh, and who is your dog?
My dog is Storm. You can probably hear her whining
Storm.
In the background
yes,
right now.
Yes, she's right here. Storm. And what kind of a dog is she?
She's a Husky Lab. She's, yep. Say hi for us, girl.
Yes, you Husky Lab. Oh, yes. Yeah. She looks pretty spry.
Yes, she is. She wasn't always as spry as she is now.
Oh, wow.
So I guess about 2 years ago now, 2 to 3 years ago,
yeah.
She had a bit of a mishap at a dog park.
Oh.
So at this point, I was already a certified chiropractor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I noticed she started limping. And, of course, I immediately got very concerned, and I took her to the vet straight away.
And she's still a young dog.
She is. She's going to be five. She is
okay,
young.
Okay, so she is so young.
She yeah. is young. So she had a slip at a dog park. So mm-hmm. naturally, the first thing that I thought was, you know, she hurt her ACL or needed some type of...
ACL is?
Her ligament in her knee.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of
That's
times...
That's a common injury, even is, for people.
That is a very yeah. common injury. So for animals and people, that is a very oh. common injury, and it's quite the recovery.
Is it?
It is. So naturally, that was, you know, my heart stopped, and that was the first thing that I thought it was. So
yeah.
I took her to the vet, and the vets kind of looked at it, and they... or assessed her, looked at her knee, said mm-hmm. it wasn't a tear, you know, possibly just a mild sprain, and, you know, to take her home and let her rest, and it would improve.
Oh, simple.
Simple, right? So of course, that was what I did. I listened to the vet, and, you know, after some time, I realized, you know, she was still limping, and there was still something that wasn't quite right. And I knew that the animal chiropractic program existed, so I decided, you know, okay, let's look into this. Let's see if there's something going on from a spinal perspective that maybe uh-huh. would have been missed or not assessed for.
Because you were a doctor of chiropractic at that time.
At that yeah. time, exactly. So I just, you know, I knew that this existed, and it was something that I was always interested in, but mm. when it's yeah. your own baby,
yeah,
it, you
yes,
know,
exactly.
it, lights a fire under you, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, of course, I enrolled in the course. And the very first thing that we learned was pelvis, was low back and pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually where I discovered some of her issues.
Oh.
Was in her pelvis. So naturally, the first thing that I did when I got home from the course was assess her and see what was going on. But she did have some pelvic dysfunction going on in her pelvis. And after a couple of adjustments, just in the pelvis alone, I noticed her walking getting significantly better. So she used to have a bit of a sway in her, like a little bit of a waddle in her hind end and a bit of a limp. So even after just the first adjustment, that improved significantly.
So she had an injury to the ligament in her knee. Do you think that that's what her favoring that leg caused the injury in her hip? Maybe.
Possibly.
Hard to say.
It's hard to say.
Hard to say. She could have just injured it in the fall.
She could have injured or had some type of injury in the fall, like you said.
Yeah. So you really don't know.
I really don't know.
You have to really investigate.
But what I do know from a biomechanical functional point of view, if you are altering your gait because you're trying to favor one leg, that does create issues in your pelvis, in your spine, because everything is all connected.
It's all connected.
So if you offset, that is going to affect, you know, functioning. And again, I knew that there were no ligament. There was a mild sprain, but it wasn't a tear that required surgery or any type of medication. It was just go home and rest. Mm-hmm. And it was the knee. Again, was fine, but what I did find was her pelvis, likely as a result of her favoring that knee, did get affected, and it was affecting her functioning and her movement.
Interesting.
So again, once I assessed the pelvis, I found issues there, but it didn't quite resolve on its own until we had learned full spine, because again, everything is connected. So your pelvis and your low back, the way that all of our muscles attach, that does affect your mid back, your neck, everything, right? All of our things are connected.
Yeah.
So once I started assessing her full spine, her functioning has significantly improved. Now I do always notice when she needs another adjustment, and I am very careful with her because I know once you've had any type of an injury to a ligament, you are a little bit more at risk for having further injury. Mm-hmm. So I am, of course, always careful, and I would, of course, always take her back to the vet if I ever did notice true lameness, that's the veterinary term for going three-legged or having a limp.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if I ever did notice something that wasn't resolving from a chiropractic standpoint, of course, then I would be very concerned. But as of right now, most of her things are just spinal, and they are significantly improved with her adjustments.
That's so interesting. So she had an injury to the ligament in her knee, and you're working on her spine to help correct it.
So the adjustments to the spine wouldn't be correcting the ligament. It would be correcting the compensations in her spine that developed from favoring the ligament.
All right. Oh, interesting. Now, how long would her adjustments take?
So the adjustments don't take very long at all. It is actually a little bit more difficult to adjust your own dog, or from what I've noticed, because she looks at me like, "You're mom and I want to play with you." She is a little bit more difficult to adjust for me.
Are you a bad patient?
Yes, and of course she's full of licks, full of love.
Yeah.
But a typical adjustment only takes, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. When there is more going on, I you know, with an older dog that is a little bit slower, I take more of my time. I always carve out a 30-minute time slot whenever I do see the animals, just to ensure that I have enough time to do it. But the actual adjustment itself only takes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes usually.
And I guess it depends too how cooperative the animal is.
Yes.
I can see with a cat that they would be much less cooperative than dogs.
Yes. So I definitely do kind of chase around the animals sometimes. I am crawling around on the floor after them sometimes. But it's all part of the fun, isn't it? It's all part of the fun.
Great. And how often do you have to monitor Storm?
So Storm is now in her maintenance phase. Mm. So I take a look at her once every 4 to 6 weeks, unless I notice.
Oh, okay.
Unless I notice her starting to limp or that sway in her low back, the waddle in her hind end coming back.
Now, do you take any special precautions with Storm by not allowing her to do dog sports or not climbing, going for hikes where there's elevation or things like that?
I do try to monitor. I don't take her to the dog park as much as I used to anymore. I mean, she's a husky. She needs to run. So yeah. I do still run her.
Sure.
But I am definitely a little bit more cautious with what I do with her, for sure. But it is comforting to know that I can at least recognize the signs. And I do, again, as in our program, we are taught which signs tell us is, you know, a chiropractic case, which is a veterinary case.
Yes,
so I do have that advantage of being able to know when it's not something mm-hmm. that chiropractic should be assessing for or treating for, I should say. But so far, so good.
That's good. So you've seen an improvement, definitely.
I've definitely seen a very big improvement in her. I've got other patients as well that I've seen improvements in. For patient confidentiality, I don't want to go into their stories as much, but I do have animals that weren't able to walk up and down stairs prior to coming in for care, and then after, you know, 3 to 4 visits, that, you know, they are noticing that they can do that again.
My gosh. So there, you've seen a drastic improvement in life.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. And enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Because Storm seems to be a happy dog.
She is quite a happy dog.
Yes.
We were actually, the big rule with the chiropractic adjustments is that if you're not seeing a change or an improvement within 3 visits, then it's something that needs a veterinarian to look at. Mm-hmm. So the animals really do respond quite quickly when it is a chiropractic case. Again, that 3-visit rule is pretty good. I've had a few that I haven't, again, been able to see that result with in that 3 visits, and then that's always when I say, you know, go back to your veterinarian, have them take a look and see what they can do for you. But most of the time when it is a chiropractic, every time when it's a chiropractic case within those 3 visits, you do see some type of improvement.
Yeah.
Not always full resolution right away.
Yeah.
Again, it just depends on the case.
Great. Well, I'm so happy this Storm is doing so well.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much, Julianne, for visiting us here in Burlington Humane.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's there for you when work is stressful. She's there for you when life is hard. She's there for you when you need a friend. Be there for her. Register for Pet First Aid today. The next course is Sunday, April 14th. Here at Burlington Humane. If we have pets, we need to think about how to provide for them in our will. I met with Daniel Goldgut, CEO and founder of Epilogue Wills, to discuss some of the things we need to keep in mind when making up our will to provide for our pets. I'm here with Daniel Goldgut, who is with Epilogue Wills. Welcome, Daniel, to Burlington Humane.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Epilogue Wills, what's that?
So Epilogue Wills is a service that helps Canadians create custom estate planning documents online. So that would be wills, powers of attorney. It's a guided online process that walks you through and helps you create those documents in as little as 20 minutes. So everybody needs a will. And one thing that people probably don't think about enough is what happens to your pet if you pass away. And with a will, you have the opportunity to name a guardian for your pet. So it is something that's really important. Once we start talking with pet owners and they sort of realize that that is something that they can think about and should think about, all of a sudden they might realize that they actually have really strong opinions about who the right person would be to care for their pet if they aren't here anymore.
Now, is that not offered in when you go to get your will done? Is that not a standard question for most organizations?
So it depends. I mean, it is, you know, if you go to see a lawyer to do your will, that is a question that they might ask.
So if I wanted to take care of my pet, can I just list anybody in my will?
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, so people are often surprised to find out that in the eyes of the law, pets are considered property. So in the same way that you can choose to leave your other property to anybody you wish, it's the same with a pet. So you know, people often use the term pet guardian, and that's the term that people sort of recognize and understand. But the reality is that pet guardianship through the eyes of the law is different than guardianship of a child. So yes, you're naming someone who you are going to gift your pet to, but we all understand and know that that person is then going to take on the role of guardian for that pet.
Is there anything that ensures that the person who you're listing actually will accept the pet and take care of it?
So there is no obligation on that person. It's not a guarantee, right? So it's your responsibility to have those conversations with the person that you choose to make sure that they're open and willing to accept your pet and care for them and provide them with the type of home and future that you would wish. It's not a good idea just to write someone's name down, to never have a discussion with them, and to not even know if they would be open or willing to fill that role.
So you don't need to have that person come in and sign that, yes, I will accept this gift and that I certify that I will take care of this animal and that my name is justly written in this person's will.
That's right. That person ultimately could decline and say, I'm not accepting that. So it's prudent to have these discussions ahead of time, to name one person to be the guardian, potentially to name an alternate as well. So if that first person is unable to take your pet, that there is someone else who would be willing to step into those shoes and care for your pet.
Is there anything else that pet owners should need to know before they come to you?
So one more thing is, I'm not going to say customary, but oftentimes people will leave a monetary gift for that individual who's acting as the guardian. That can have some different characteristics. So in some case, that gift is made as sort of a token of appreciation. In other case, that gift is meant to help provide funds to care for the pet. So if there's a lifestyle that your pet is accustomed to and you'd like them to continue in that lifestyle, that might be something where you leave some money to the pet guardian in the hopes that they will use those funds in that way.
You hear about the little old lady who leaves $500,000 to her cat.
Yeah. So, I mean, we hear about those stories much more in the US than we do here in Canada. There are some restrictions and you cannot leave money directly to an animal here.
Oh, okay. You can't leave it to Fluffy.
No, you can't. You can leave it to someone to use for Fluffy. For leaving that money to that individual, you cannot guarantee that they are going to spend it on the pet.
So the money can't be targeted for a specific purpose.
Yeah, so it can be a wish of yours, but ultimately it's a gift. It's a monetary gift that you are making to that person. And so you cannot, let's call it, attach those strings to it. So again, this is where it's really important to have those conversations, right? You know, if we're talking about a family member or a friend, someone that you trust to, you know, that, you know, probably already has some type of a relationship with your pet, who has a willingness and a desire to step into those shoes. And you would say, well, you know, and I'm not just going to name you, but I'll actually provide some funds in my will for you, for the care of the pet. And so it's not this situation where this person's just, you know, take the money and run. If this is someone that you trust, you know, the hope certainly is that, you know, they're going to respect your wishes and you're going to pick the right person for the job.
And that's really important because we get a lot of animals here at the Humane Society where the owner has passed away and somebody has discovered the person has passed and discovered that they have some pets and will feed them for a couple of weeks. But then ultimately the animal ends up here to be rehomed. And that's a lot of stress on the animal. And it's certainly not an outcome I'm sure the owner would have wanted.
Absolutely. That's right.
They're going to be with you for a long time. And they're part of the family. They become an important part of the family. So we need to look out for their welfare after we're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the kind of thing that I think that as people start to think about it, you know, as I've had conversations with pet owners and they say, oh, you know what, actually, I didn't think about that, but of course I care. Like, of course that matters to me.
All right. So if people want to get a hold of you, where can they find out more?
So you can find us at epilogwills.com. So that's epilogwills.com. That's where the website is. That's where you can get started and go ahead and start the process of creating a will. And then on all, you know, social channels, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, if you look us up, it's Epilogue Wills. And we've got a lot of great content on the website in our Learn Center that's pet specific and content around, you know, executors and beneficiaries and other important things that you should understand as you sort of embark on the journey of creating your will.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Daniel, for joining me here. I'm Burlington Humane.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Laughter is the language of the soul. So join Burlington Humane for our stand-up comedy night. Our comedy night will take place on Friday, April 12th at Club 54 on 3345 Harrison Road in Burlington. The evening of laughter and fun begins at 10 p.m. There will be door prizes, a 50-50 draw, silent auction, food and drinks available for purchase, and a dance party to follow the comedy show. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased at Burlington Humane or online. Go to our website for full details. Join us for our stand-up comedy night on April 12th. And now it's time for news and events.
Burlington Humane is a non-profit organization, and we rely completely on donations from our generous supporters to continue finding forever homes for our animals. We do not receive any type of government grants from municipal, provincial, or federal governments. If you are able to make a donation to Burlington Humane, it will go a long way to helping our animals. All donations of $20 or more will receive an income tax receipt. You may choose to donate monthly so you can provide continued support to Burlington Humane, and you can even leave a legacy by providing a bequest in your will and ensure that your support continues long into the future. All donations are very much appreciated. Thank you from Burlington Humane.
Are you prepared to help your pet in the event of an accident? What will you do until you can get them to the veterinarians? Burlington Humane is proud to offer Walks and Wags Pet First Aid Course. Walks and Wags Pet First Aid are national leaders in pet first aid and have the longest standing pet first aid course in Canada. It has earned the stamp of approval from Animal Wellness, North America's top animal wellness magazine. This hands-on, live practical gives you the skills and confidence to deal with illness and emergencies. The 10-hour course deals with how to prevent injuries, early signs of illness and poisoning, bandaging and splinting techniques, emergency medical conditions, choking, artificial respiration, and CPR, and much, much more. Upon successful completion, you'll receive a certificate valid for 3 years. Our next courses will be April 14th and May 12th. Go to our website at www.burlingtonhumane.ca for more information. Pet First Aid.
Be sure to stay informed about all of the animals that are available for adoption. You will find these all on our Burlington Humane website. We also feature them on our social media, so make sure you subscribe to our Facebook page and our Instagram account.
Laughter is the language of the soul. So join Burlington Humane for our stand-up comedy night on Friday, April 12th at Club 54 on 3345 Harvester Road in Burlington. The evening of laughter and fun begins at 10 p.m. There will be door prizes, a 50-50 draw, silent auction, food and drinks available for purchase, and a dance party to follow the comedy show. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased at Burlington Humane or online. Go to our website for full details. Join us for our stand-up comedy night, April 12th.
Our hours at Burlington Humane are Tuesday through Saturday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., and we are open for walk-in adoptions. When you come in, you will complete the application form and have an interview with our adoption counselor. You can speed up the adoption process by filling out our adoption application ahead of time. This is available online on our website at www.burlingtonhumane.ca. You can preview all of our available animals ahead of time on the website. If you are approved to adopt, you will be escorted through our cat rooms to meet our animals. We look forward to seeing you here then.
Are you wanting to take your dog to an off-leash area but not have to worry about other dogs? You can book Burlington Humane's private fenced-in large dog walking playground through SniffSpot. Go to SniffSpot.com and book a time slot. The times you can book our private large playground are 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., and 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Time slots are $12 an hour. Book your spot at Burlington Humane's large private fenced-in dog walking area through SniffSpot.com.
To find the latest information about events, ways to make a donation, and the animals that are up for adoption, and much more, don't forget to visit our website at www.burlingtonhumane.ca. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to stay in touch and up to date with Burlington Humane.
Burlington Humane would love to help you celebrate your special day. Your guests will be impressed with a thoughtful, generous donation for all the animals at BHS in place of costly guest favors. Along with a tax receipt, we will create a beautiful certificate that you can display at your reception, letting your guests know that instead of favors, you have generously donated to the Burlington Humane Society, one of Ontario's no-kill animal shelters. Following your big day, send us your favorite wedding photo, and we will post it on our Facebook page to share your generosity and help us toast the brides.
Well, that's it for this episode of Burlington Humane, the podcast of the Burlington Humane Society. I want to thank our guests, Dr. Julianne Donato from Mason Chiropractic and Wellness Center, and Daniel Goldgut from Epilogue Wills. Be sure to subscribe to Burlington Humane on iTunes. We are located at 740 Griffith Court in Burlington, Ontario. You can visit our website at www.burlingtonhumane.ca or give us a call at 905-637-7325. You can also find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you for joining us. My name is Doug. We'll see you next time on Burlington Humane. Bye-bye!
My society. My society. Burlington Humane is my society.